Welcome to On the Record, a special program with KWBU-FM. Bill Whitaker, opinion editor for the Waco Tribune-Herald, sat down with Waco ISD Superintendent A. Marcus Nelson and Matthew Polk, executive director of Prosper Waco, to discuss their partnership to save Waco ISD's failing schools. This conversation was recorded February 1st, 2018.
Hello, this is Bill Whitaker, opinion editor of the Waco Tribune-Herald, and today I'm in the KWBU-FM studios with two people who are entering uncharted territory in terms of public education in Texas. Dr. A. Marcus Nelson, superintendent of Waco Independent School District, and I think it's fair to say a relative newcomer to our area, and Matthew Polk, executive director of the local nonprofit Prosper Waco, which seems to sometimes defy easy description, but is about to become very relevant in all our lives in all sorts of ways unimagined when Prosper Waco was formed a few years ago. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Today, I hope we can dig deeper into the excellent and very detailed coverage by my Tribune-Herald colleague, Shelley Conlon, who covers public education. On January 25th, the Waco Independent School District Board of Trustees voted to enter into partnership with Prosper Waco to assemble from scratch, as best I can tell, and then operate what's to be called an in-district charter school system. Now, this is pretty unprecedented, not just in Waco and Central Texas, but the entire state. The impetus is created by five academically struggling schools in Waco ISD and a state law that was passed last summer that allows districts with struggling schools to prevent or delay state-mandated closure by entering into an arrangement such as we see as forming between Waco ISD and Prosper Waco. In fact, this thing is so unprecedented that the Texas Education Agency, which has blessed this union, I believe, is nonetheless still writing the very rules that will define how you guys pull this off. First question, Dr. Nelson, I know you've gone through a number of community meetings, and my compliments, they've been very interesting community meetings, but you've done these to better explain the need for all this to parents and even some educators. You've been very eloquent in articulating the needs that the district faces, and especially these neighborhoods. Is there a theme to the questions that you faced in these meetings? When you put them all together, what are people most concerned about?
Well, Mr. Whitaker, I would say that when you know the history of our fine city, it was just a few years ago that the Waco Independent School District went to the community and quite frankly closed several schools. It was based on some efficiency needs and financial situations, but really, I believe this board is to be applauded to make some of the tough decisions about how to be best stewards of taxpayer dollars and make sure that our facilities and our operations are lean and mean, so to speak. And they did that a few years ago, my predecessor and the board. And here we are in 2018, really with a new challenge that comes from legislation. And the bottom line is we have five schools that have not met state standards for several years in a row. And I happen to be of the opinion that that is such a critical issue. It really is the major issue facing our city. The legislation calls for us to close those schools if we cannot identify a way to partner. So I believe on behalf of Prosper Waco and WISD leadership, we want to do whatever we can do together to keep those schools open. That's the priority.
Well, based on some of the questions you were getting during these community meetings, and I really I learned a lot at these meetings myself, what is the one concern that meeting after meeting you kept getting from parents or maybe even educators who will be working in this unusual partnership?
Well, I think the main thing is it's so undefined about what it looks like. And I know Dr. Polk and I, we're committed to being clear on our communication, and that's kind of hard to do when we can't hand a document to someone like yourself that clearly defines what his role is and what our role is. We know we're going to work together. We know it's unprecedented, and to answer your question directly, most of the people want to know what's that going to look like? What's that going to look like for the average parent on any given day? How will it change for the average teacher at the schools impacted. And I'm really proud to report that while the future is unclear, according to the Texas Education Agency, one thing is for sure is we're going to work this locally. And so the leadership's really spearheaded by Dr. Polk and myself and our communications departments, respectively. We're going to make sure that we're communicating with our executive leaderships, our board of directors and board of trustees. And then more importantly, we're going to come up with a communication plan for all the members of the school community. And we want everyone to know that the main thing you should know is it's either do what we're doing or close them.
Right.
And if you were in this city a few years ago when we closed campuses in certain zip codes, ask yourself how that went.
Yeah, back during 2011, 2012.
Yeah, ask yourself how the people in East Waco felt about having schools closed that had been open for decades. And so we're trying to avoid that. We're trying to save our schools and really give our leadership teams on the campuses an opportunity to be innovative and get the job done academically.
Well, I saw the school board meeting that Shelley was writing about in the paper on January 25th. And the trustees unanimously signed into this agreement with Prosper Waco. And I heard some very interesting discussions beforehand from some of these parents that came from all over the state who were vigorously opposed to this in-district charter school and feared that the district was playing into the hands of this alleged movement in state government to shut down more and more public schools. You obviously sympathized with the parents' love of public education, but it was only to a point. And I think I know what the answer is, but I want you to kind of articulate. You obviously liked what they were saying, but they had a few details maybe they were just a little bit shy of.
Well, you know, Mr. Whitaker, you know, I don't have to tell you that, you know, we need champions in this city for our kids and people that stand up for them and demand certain things. And I really think that's something that Prosper Waco will bring a fresh perspective on raising the expectations. And you have a very credentialed leader in Prosper Waco who has experience with running schools, obviously has been to some of the best schools in the country to study leadership and management. And boy, I'm excited about that relationship of he and I really Batman and Robin, so to speak.
You Batman know and Robin. I've heard everything. You know, I didn't
and
know.
He's Batman.
Well, Robin. I wonder who Robin is.
I'm Robin.
Hey, listen, I was impressed. I didn't know until you mentioned it that Matthew had a degree from Harvard. I thought, maybe it's at Harvard just south of Austin that they're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the big dog in Boston. Okay. But, those parents came to our meeting, and I really did mean it sincerely that I actually share their concern about how the state of Texas values public schools. And I do feel like as a public school superintendent, I can't help but feel this pressure from the Texas Education Agency that comes from the legislature.
Right.
And it's an attempt to take monies away from public schools and give them somewhere else.
Right.
And then for me, I agree that that's not good for communities. That's not good for certain neighborhoods, certain zip codes. But at the same time, I don't think that Waco should be we're not David versus Goliath here. We don't have a slingshot where we can go. It's not a fight for us against TEA. TEA sets rules. They set expectations, mandates, whether they're funded or unfunded, and we're expected to meet them. And I want to say respectfully to my friends from Houston and the parents who came from Dallas, you trying to get me to jump out there and fight TEA, and they're going to close our schools, and you'll be sitting back in Houston.
Doesn't seem
sitting
like,
in Richardson, sitting in Highland Park.
You'll have to bust them down to Houston.
Right,
yeah.
Your schools are going to be open. So,
let me ask you something,
of TEA.
And I'm going to get to you in a minute, Matthew, Shelley tells me that the Texas Education Agency I think it was a meeting last Friday or Saturday. In other words, this would have been 24 hours after the school board voted on this merger with Prosper Waco.
Yes, sir.
Just kind of curious, any takeaway? I know you sent somebody down there from Waco ISD. Any takeaways from where these rules are going and how they might show up in the lives of ordinary parents and children?
Well, we think it's important for our public to know that, you know, our public information officer went to the hearings, and basically we feel pretty confident that the proposal that we've put together will meet the expectations of TEA. Now, obviously, we're going to have to make some tweaks and amendments, as with any contract, that it needs to be legally, specifically clear about who does what, and we're going to have to craft that document. But no, we're on the same page. We've been meeting with TEA regularly, weekly, sometimes several times a week. And so what we're doing is not a surprise. We're not sending them something that's new. We've been talking to them since before we ever approached Prosper Waco. And I'll admit, while we do plan on taking advantage of the innovation and the leadership potential that Prosper Waco and Dr. Polk can provide, this is really our brainchild. I mean, we got the letter in August that said we had two semesters or they're going to start closing five schools. And so, yeah, you know, it was our board of directors. It was the cabinet. Several of us got together and just made some decisions about if Senate Bill 1882 offers some relief, which of those options will we consider?
That's the Senate bill that provides for this union between Prosper Waco and Waco ISD. Then.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why we exist. And I think that the idea that we've come, you know, they start talking about charter networks, and we took a look at that. And I don't really even want to close the door on that, both public and private charters. But right now, our relationship with the local nonprofit, the main thing we want to emphasize to the public is that it maintains local control of the schools.
Well, when Kyle went down to Austin, Kyle Beer went down to Austin, was there anything that when Kyle got back and he reported to you what was going on, was there anything that said, oh, my gosh, is there anything that made you nervous?
I'm proud to report that the answer is no to that. You know, he came back with some spirited, almost humorous, anecdotal responses
to what he saw. How can you go to a TEA meeting and have something humorous happen?
Well, you know, like, for example, think about it. The people that came and spoke at Waco, the next morning, they were in Austin speaking.
Oh, I see.
And they were saying, we were at Waco last night, and Kyle's just sitting there grinning like, yeah, they're trying to throw their weight around with Waco. They're trying to throw their weight around with TEA. And I think they got as far as they could get with both.
Well, very
I don't think either organization was really losing a lot of sleep over it. But I do think that TEA has been very clear that they want to see change. They want to see Prosper Waco assume clear responsibility for adding something different. And while Prosper Waco has done an excellent job in gathering support in our community, not only for public schools, but just for coordinating health services and working on financial security and education as well, I just think that with this focused effort, we'll be able to take it to even another level and allow them to do some of the things that they do well.
It's actually pretty exciting. I think it's pretty exciting in a lot of ways.
We believe it's going to improve student outcomes, and that's why we're doing it.
Matthew, I was reading Shelley Conlon's story in the Trib this morning on Prosper Waco's role in all this, and I want to ask a little bit more about this. But first, can you tell me, I almost hate to do this, but because there are some people that don't fully comprehend what in the world Prosper Waco is. I've got a description, but I've been told by Shelley that's probably inappropriate. So why don't you tell me what Prosper Waco really is?
Sure. First and foremost, Prosper Waco is a community initiative. It was established in 2014, 2015 under the leadership of Malcolm Duncan Jr., who was Waco mayor at the time, partnering with Virginia Dupuy, a former, you know, well-known former mayor, other community leaders, Brett Esrock, the CEO of Providence Hospital, Pat Atkins, the chair of the school board, on. And the idea was to say, we've been doing a lot of good work in this community, specifically around addressing issues related to poverty, but also improving education, improving health and healthcare opportunities for folks. How do we pull that work together across a wide range of partners, you know, nonprofit organizations, schools, hospitals, et cetera, in a way that really makes sense and in a way where that work builds on itself? Yeah. So that people in our community benefit and their quality of life improves. And so the way that they identified to do that or to go about it was through what's called a collective impact model or a collective impact initiative. And one part of that approach to addressing community-wide issues like education, health, and poverty is to have what's called a backbone organization, essentially an organization that can step back, play a neutral role, not spend all of its time delivering services and working directly with clients, but that can spend its time building partnerships between organizations that are already out there working hard,
right?
So that
and provide some coordination,
so that together they can achieve more and have a bigger impact than they can individually.
You know, and I've heard you talk about this backbone thing. So naturally, mm-hmm. My analogy would be an octopus, which of course has no backbone. But I mean, you're the kind of the head of the octopus, and you've got all these tentacles out there, and these tentacles are the different nonprofits, all very important. The head of the octopus doesn't go anywhere without the tentacles. Mm-hmm. But they're the different nonprofits, and they only work through coordination from the head. So,
but not just nonprofits. I think it's all the major stakeholders in the
community. Like churches.
The school districts, the churches, the hospitals and healthcare providers, local government. There are ways to build partnerships where multiple partners are moving in the same direction, working on the same issue together, whereas they wouldn't be without somebody there to stir that pot and to guide that conversation.
Well, let's leapfrog from that story and that good definition, and I appreciate yours. It's a lot better than mine. So I don't know about the octopus thing, but anyway, let's leapfrog from that and let's pretend I go to a campus and I know the rules are not yet set for this partnership between Prosper Waco and the Waco ISD. But let's pretend I go to one of these campuses. Who's in charge of the classroom? Who's in charge of after-school tutoring? Who's in charge of the office administration? And when I get really rankled as a parent, which one of you guys do I give the call to?
Well, you know, the way I would respond to that is if you know how these five particular campuses work, they have some of our best and brightest educators at those schools today. We've already – most of the principals that are at these schools – have been at the school for 3 years or less. So they were placed at these schools to specifically try and address this problem. I know I speak for Dr. Polk, and we believe in continuity as much as possible. Now, there has to be a certain level of accountability, and for the record, for those five schools, that falls with Dr. Polk and Prosper Waco. Now, I've said this publicly, and I'll say it again, that I'm not surrendering all leadership authority to anyone. I feel personally responsible to have been brought to Waco, Texas to address this problem. Now, do I do it alone? Absolutely not. It's going to take a host of people. And we're starting with quarterbacks and linebackers, so to speak, like our partners at Prosper Waco. But no, if...
Both of you have strong educational backgrounds, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, Matthew, you're going to be telling teachers. Who's going to be setting the pace in the classroom, for instance?
Well, as in most schools, the campus leadership and administration really sets the pace and the culture for that school. And I think that's what Dr. Nelson is pointing out.
District would take operational.
This is not a whitewashing or a complete clearing of the decks at these schools. Some folks in the community have used phrases like Prosper Waco is taking over these schools. And that implies that we have 50 or 100, you know, highly qualified, certified educators kind of sitting in our back pocket waiting to swoop in and take over the classrooms and do things differently. And that's
when you're
just,
actually only an office staff of five or six.
Right. And yeah, that's just not the case. There are already high quality educators on these campuses is what Dr. Nelson is pointing out. And so – you know, who employs those educators, who signs their contract and signs their check, that's part of what has to be determined through this partnership. It looks to me right now, from what I've seen, that TEA will allow the educators to continue to be employees of Waco ISD, which I think they would prefer from a continuity standpoint and so forth. But there does have to be a level of influence and accountability, to use Dr. Nelson's term, from the Prosper Waco Board of directors.
Well, let's say,
what is the schools?
Name two big changes I'm going to see, and I think I've read about these, but give me a couple of big changes I'll be seeing with this dynamic new partnership.
I can give you a couple.
Sure.
You know, for example, if a parent comes to the school and they have a question, they're going to work with their teacher, their child's teacher first. That's the way that won't change at all. If they're dissatisfied, then they will go to the campus leadership. One of the major changes is that Prosper Waco gets to make a final decision on who the campus leadership is.
What do you mean?
Well, this spring, once it's all finalized, once Prosper Waco assumes their role in Senate Bill 1882, ultimately they have ultimate hire and fire authority with the principal.
Really?
Yes. And so I'm not going to allow Dr. Polk to just do that in isolation because I've been monitoring them daily.
Right.
He wouldn't want to have that responsibility without knowing at least our position.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Now that doesn't mean he has to do what I'm recommending. And that's the kind of thing I'm proud to report that we're honoring what TEA says. But nah, he don't want to make that by himself. That's too the accountability that comes with picking the principal is enormous.
Well, let
me.
Oh yeah, well that's
something
the
we would want
that's
to
the head on the octopus. I think actually.
Absolutely.
But you mentioned another big thing that I would probably. What's another big change? You mentioned two.
Okay, so one of them would be ultimate hire and fire authority. Another major. What I think is one of the most special things that will happen is if we have an organization that is a partner that identifies every student by their social and economical need. And so they have these kind of barriers in their home. They need this kind of parent service. We've done our best in that, but we believe that a local collective impact backbone can focus what they're doing with the city on five schools. For example, they'll set up in Alta Vista. So parents will see that when they walk in, there's this Prosper Waco parent room. And that's the room you come to if you're a convicted felon. That's the room you come to if you can't speak English. That's the room you come to if you can't pay your rent.
And so does it act like kind of a clearinghouse then? Is that what it is?
Yeah,
it is intended to meet kids' needs. It's to coordinate all the services that we can provide a kid, and that will be unprecedented in these schools. Now, for the record, Prosper Waco has already been helping, but not like they're about to.
Yeah, and that's what we're most excited about, and that's what we have emphasized when we've talked with Shelley, when we've spoken in these community meetings is, you know, that's really our bailiwick, our specialty is to know what is going on in the community, what resources and supports are out there, and to have the time to step back in a way that a backbone does and look at who could we bring to the table to make sure that students and their families get what they need. If students need more reliable or inexpensive after-school care, who can we bring to the table, whether it's the YMCA, whether it's the Boys and Girls Club, whether it's the City of Waco Parks and Rec
Department. So you'll be able to draw on all these, what is it, did I read something like 700 different, you know,
nonprofit
or church groups or city services. You'll be able to help coordinate that and put those at the disposal of these schools that have been struggling in some ways that may be in a more concerted way you might be able to answer. Is that correct?
So absolutely.
So you think about that. If you have a I like to joke, but it's really very serious. You have a PhD from Harvard who's sitting in a room, and not only can he work with his current team to coordinate wraparound services, he also can go meet with the principal and have conversations about teaching and learning, about decisions on hiring decisions of third, fourth, and fifth grade teachers, mm-hmm. about what's happening over in the early childhood program, about what's happening with technology and blended learning, individualizing our literacy plan. I think we have the exact person that has the unique skill set.
It is unique, yeah.
It's a unique, you know, that can come in and really be comfortable doing all those things under his current function.
I think one of the you know, Prosper Waco was originally formed, as you mentioned, Matthew, by folks like Mayor Duncan Jr. And Virginia Dupuy, another former mayor who's been a big public education advocate. It was originally formed to battle poverty through three key fronts, if I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was helping people better manage their finances, ensuring education is not only performing properly, but feeding students into the colleges and careers that they want, and finally health care, which can torpedo everything if it's not mm-hmm. together, if we can get away from the politics of it all.
Sure.
How will all this how much of a nightmare is going to be assembling all this? To I mean, this to me strikes me as the ultimate Prosper Waco proving ground. I hate to put the pressure on you, but you've got a lot of stuff at your resources. You're a very small staff, actually. Prosper Waco is. You work with a lot of different groups. Right. How are you going to make all this come together?
Well, that's...
I mean, are you having sleepless nights on this?
Well, not yet. Those will probably come. But I think you used the word exciting before, and that's what it is. It's an opportunity for our community to say, this is what we've been talking about when we've been talking about Prosper Waco, when we've been talking about collective impact. We've been talking about the fact that, you know, life's complicated. And that when you look at issues related to poverty and you look at some of the challenges that Waco ISD has in terms of student performance, there are a lot of things that go into that. And they're not just things that happen between 8 and 3 inside the school building. And so, you know, what we're able to do as a community here is say we have a very critical time here. We have a very specific job, and it's for the community to rally together with a head on the octopus, to use your analogy, with the Prosper Waco team leading the charge and coordinating, but for the community to come together and say, what resources do we have available to meet the needs of these students and their families so that they can perform as well as possible so that WISD can then do the best job that it can do. So when we talk about health, you know, we're looking at things like how do we make sure that when a kid is sick and has to leave school, that he gets an appointment with a doctor that day or the next morning and doesn't miss the next 5 days of school because his family doesn't have health insurance or doesn't know where to go to get health care. Those are the kinds of things we're talking about, setting up those kinds of processes. Now, we're not, as the Prosper Waco staff, none of us are certified healthcare providers. We're not providing the healthcare. We have great resources like Family Health Center in our community, and that's what the partnership looks like is what is the process for a kid who's sick to get him into an appointment with a provider like Family Health Center as quickly as possible so that he can get back into the classroom as quickly as possible and continue to learn.
I don't mind telling you that it needs to be clear that if you talk to TEA, they might have a little bit different vision for this. But for us, every day it's getting clearer and clearer in our minds of how we're going to work together. And it is tough to say because, you know, on the record, they're supposed to be the management authority. But we already bus kids well. We already feed kids well.
Right.
We already pay our teachers a certain salary. Now, Prosper Waco's got some extra funding source where they want to pay their teachers differently. That's their call to do. I don't know. I'm on the board. I look at the budget. It's not like a whole lot of fluff. It's not. So that's where we can come in and really work together. But we want you to know that when we talk to TEA, we do not limit Prosper Waco's impact to just coordinating wraparound services. They are the management authority. Now, I plan on doing some of that with them, and we're not trying to hide that. We're trying to be real, you know, for us, as cloudy as we make it, it's really pretty clear. We're not going to do anything at those five campuses that clearly doesn't have the direction of Prosper Waco. Likewise, whatever Prosper Waco is doing, we're trying to use that as a model for things we might want to do at some of our other schools. So it's definitely a collaborative effort and definitely a partnership. It is not giving authority away.
This is KWBU FM you're listening to, and this is Bill Whitaker, and we're with Matthew Polk, the executive director of Prosper Waco, and Dr. A. Marcus Nelson, superintendent of Waco Independent School District. Have you guys gone off on a camping trip to get to know each other better or anything like that? Because it sounds like two people with strong personalities. I'm just trying to figure out how this is all going to work.
Well, you know, we start every morning at 7 a.m. and we're working together. We talk every week. We meet with both of the boards, and we're just going to do more of that. Our communication teams, under the direction of Christy and Kyle, is that right?
Christina. Yeah.
Christy. Yeah. Under Christina and Kyle have been making a concerted effort for us to be a united front. And the main message we have for this community is that we're trying to keep local control of these schools. We're not bringing in some outside charter network that They'd have to meet you for the first time. They'd have to meet Shelley for the first time.
Well, you know, people get afraid when you mention a private charter school. Or charter school, as I'm sure you had to go through all the time, Matthew, when you were with the Rappaport Academy. Mm-hmm.
There's a stigma.
Yeah, there's a stigma about it, and not all charters are created equally. And is that something you're getting a lot of?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's unfair. You know, I don't want to get on my
high horse.
I was going to say that, but you know, I have a position with how Texas, particularly our current governor, current lieutenant governor. I'm not criticizing them in any way, for the record. I think they do a fine job. Having said that, it's pretty easy to see that there is a movement to funnel public education dollars to private charters. And I'm not sure if that experiment is working. I'm from a neighborhood community public school. I believe in that. I believe that where you're born, you should have the right to go to a public school because you pay taxes. And we're really trying to make sure that we keep our schools open in the zip codes that need public schools the most.
I also think there's a point to be made about charter schools as a way to provide choice for students and families, which was one of the original ideas, and a situation in which independent school districts are required to choose between entirely closing schools in high-need neighborhoods or providing or partnering with a charter school in which students and families really have no choice but to choose that school as their local public school. I think that's an important distinction to make.
This partnership that Prosper Waco and Waco ISD are entering to create an in-district charter school system, which you guys are currently pulling together right now with the help of the Texas Education Agency. One thing that the parents that spoke at the January 25th school board meeting that are very pro public education, they were concerned about who's accountable in all of this. One fear about funneling money to private schools, as you've talked about, Dr. Nelson, is that they're not governed often by elected officials who are directly accountable to the parents. Now, the argument on the other side is you can always take your kid out of the school if you don't like it. But there's been some concern about this. Who is exactly in charge in this particular scenario that we're setting up between Prosper Waco and Waco ISD?
You know, when we turn an application to the state of Texas, the full authority on that paper will be for Prosper Waco. When you come to Alta Vista Elementary and you have a need or a concern, I think that everyone will agree that Waco ISD is still part of that plan. Now, we're honoring what the Texas Education Agency has asked for, and in no way are we trying to usurp the mandates that have been given. But an in-district partner is an in-district partner. That's different than an out-of-district partner. You want to go see that? We have some programs in our community where you can see that, but this one's different, and it really is a unique blend of a current dominant nonprofit. This is not one of the 700. This is one of Mayor Malcolm Duncan Jr., Mayor Dupuy, Dr. Glenn Robinson, Bill Clifton. These are just an example of the type of people who are invested in making sure that this partnership works.
And what's more, all of them are big believers in public schools. And I think that was one thing that I noticed that was kind of left out of the parents, while I enjoyed their sentiments speaking January 25th, one thing I thought to myself is, oh, gosh, you know, when they were attributing certain suspicions to Matthew Polk and his board, I was thinking, yeah, ooh, boy, I'm glad Virginia Dupuy isn't here because Virginia Dupuy, she basically led a public education advocacy group that eventually kind of, if I understand right, kind of morphed into what Prosper Waco is today.
That's so right. It's the Prosper Waco initiative is built on Mayor Dupuy's work from more than a decade ago. And I think that's an important point for us to make, is that given that Waco ISD has very limited choices, essentially between closing very important schools in high-need neighborhoods or partnering with some other organization to formally operate those campuses. The question is, would we as the Waco community rather that partner be an organization that is based in Houston or based in Dallas or based, you know, somewhere outside of
Chicago.
Texas that doesn't have a context for Waco? Or would we prefer that organization to be led, you know, created and led by some of our most committed public servants, community leaders who have spent years upon years upon years serving as uncompensated mayors of Waco, as school board, Waco ISD school board members, you know, on the boards of foundations and other organizations.
I gotta ask you guys. I mean, you guys are trying to put this together between two very capable organizations, the local school district and Prosper Waco. And as Dr. Nelson says, you're doing it with the TEA, which is still kind of trying to interpret the Senate bill that passed this past summer and write rules for it. What is a typical conversation like with our friends down at the TEA? And I have great respect for the commissioner, by the way. He's a sharp guy. I haven't met some of the other folks, though, down there. I mean, is there a lot of this well, thank you, Dr. Nelson. We'll get back to you later.
You know, I share your impressions of Commissioner Morath and his team, particularly Deputy Commissioner A.J. Crable and several others, Associate Commissioner Sadecki. They've been extremely helpful in trying to help us navigate legislation that is obviously distasteful. You know, we appreciate the fact that our legislatures are demanding that chronically low-performing schools improve. I actually share their beliefs on school choice in neighborhoods where I don't think parents should be stuck at a school that's chronically low-performing. And I believe as public schools, particularly in inner cities, we have an obligation to produce a product that is least matches what other school systems are able to produce.
Right.
And so with that, I would say the TEA has been helpful. We meet with them regularly. We're meeting with them this afternoon. We met yesterday. I was just in Austin for 3 days.
Well, what do you guys
talk
about? I mean, you guys are always – it seems like you guys are meeting closely with the TEA.
Well, and that's because we want everyone to know that our plan is not something we're waiting to run by TEA. Now, we don't know what the final rules look like, and I do sense – I think you mentioned it earlier – I sense they're looking at our plan and making some decisions on the final rules. And so it's a chess match. It's not checkers. And we want to be respectful of them. And I really am impressed with them. I think they're some of the brightest educational minds in our state. But I also think we have some of the answers to our problems in Waco right here in Waco, Texas. And we've got to take personal responsibility for the fact that we've got 5 schools about to close. Pound for pound, we have the most schools about to close in the entire state of Texas, and we should be bothered by that. We should be uncomfortable, and that discomfort should be felt with every student, every parent, every teacher, and every administrator that we have. And so changing that culture to where we have a sense of urgency, where we take care of whatever socioeconomical issues they have, because socioeconomics is not a reason that kids can't learn.
Well, okay. All right. Now, I've heard you say this before. We're going to pull back a minute. I'm going to put policy aside and look at the two of you, given that each of you is going to assume an immense burden in this community. Dr. Nelson, you have often mentioned how kids coming from a life of poverty can indeed succeed.
Absolutely.
And you've mentioned that you're living, breathing proof of this. I'm going to ask you a couple personal questions. What did your parents do? What would you say was the biggest factor toward your obvious success today?
You know, I would have to answer that question.
Because you grew up in poverty.
I grew up in a single-parent home, okay? And I really feel like the main thing that my mother provided for me is high expectations. My mother used to come home after working 2 shifts as an LVN nurse. She retired as an LVN, for the record. And she would say, who's going to be the first person in our family to graduate from college? Well, as the oldest son, that clock ticked up on me first. And I didn't even know how I was going to go to college or how to pay for college. But she planted that seed. And my mother was kind of intimidated by the school because she felt like they talked real fast and that they looked the part. You know, if you're working two jobs and you're not sure where your rent is going to come from or where your light, how your light bill is going to get paid, then all of a sudden you want me to come up to the school and be the vice president of the PTA. I don't know if that matches my schedule. And my mother was definitely in that situation, but she sure could check my report card. And she knows what a 90 is and an 80 is. And she knew if I got a satisfactory in my conduct or an N, needs improvement. And the worst thing you could do to me as a child is to call my mother at work.
None because, of us want that.
Yeah, because my mother's from the old school, and she believed in corporal punishment and some things that'll get you in trouble today.
Well, mine believed in capital punishment, yeah. But we'll go into that another time.
Well, so that's really from my, you know, I think about what made the difference, and that's having a parent that sets high expectations for you. And, you know, if my mother would have said, well, maybe you should be a police officer or maybe you should work in construction, then that probably would have been what I thought about.
Well, let me ask you, you know, I know you, one of the things that Prosper Waco and the Waco ISD have been truly concentrating on is trying to get more parental involvement, more engagement, coming to the PTA meetings, coming on teacher night.
Sure.
Your mom is obviously from an older generation. Are you sensing there's a difference in the generations today, or is it something else?
Well, you know, I hate to say it because I believe that parents send us the best kids they have. They don't keep the good ones at home, you know. And so, you know, you kind of got to take every house where they're at. We have families in Waco ISD who they have two parents at home. Both of their parents are college graduates, and those kids have a home atmosphere that I firmly believe helps them in school. Sitting right next to that kid, though, is a kid who has a background similar to mine, and they both have to have a standard that they're expected to meet. The fact that this one comes from a home atmosphere that helps them, and this one starts down here, that can't be an excuse. You might have to do more for this one.
Is that where Prosper Waco can possibly come in? And
this one down here might need a coat. This one already got a coat.
Right.
This one down here might need glasses. This one done been to the optometrist just 3 times a year. This one has braces. This one just needs to get their teeth clean.
It kind of fits in with what you were saying, Matthew, I guess.
Absolutely. It's about saying every kid has the potential to succeed, but every kid starts in a different situation, starts in a different place. So if we expect them all to succeed, to contribute to our community, to, you know, have a productive life and job in the future, then we have to give them each the same opportunity to get there.
Very good. You know, you were down at the you were 2014 superintendent of the year during your tenure as the superintendent of Laredo Independent School District on the border, the Texas-Mexico border. That's given out by the Texas Association of School Boards, and they don't mess around because they're the ones that they have to answer if things don't work out right in terms of superintendents. Mm-hmm. Going back to that, in your years, how many years were you in Laredo ISD?
I was there 8 years.
Acknowledging that the arrays of hurdles in Waco ISD may and well be different than those at Laredo ISD. And Shelley Collin, our education reporter, has told me that the different subgroup challenges are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Demographics are different in Laredo than they are in Waco dramatically, she says, she tells me. What would you say was your success? You turned around. I can't remember how many schools it is, but how many schools did you kind of help with your colleagues turn around? And what would you say are one or two takeaways in your lessons from doing that?
Well, like I just said a minute ago, the diversity in Waco could not be any more different than it is in Laredo. So all the teachers were the same demographic as the kids. I think that was special. Here, I have 68% of our hardworking and dedicated teachers are from an ethnic background different than the majority of the students that they serve.
And the student, the breakdown is what for the students, roughly?
Well, let's just say it like this. Most of our students are minority.
Right.
A majority of them. And a majority of our teachers are not.
Right.
And so don't get me wrong, because some of our best and brightest teachers are Anglo teachers from Baylor University. And they see working in the schools as a ministry. And they get after it. And I'm proud to have them. But think about that. If you're a minority kid and you go through your whole pre-K through 12 experience, and you've only had one demographic as your teacher, what does that message send to you subliminally? What is that saying to you if you're an African-American male student and you go through 12 years of school, Bill, and you never see another black male in your life? The only ones you see are what you see on TV. You do not see it at home because you live with your mother. And so it sends a message to you. And we really want to break some of those stereotypes. And so that's why we...
Well, good luck, because the first school board meeting I ever covered back in 1977, the Hispanic community showed up at the Abilene Independent School District and wanted more representational standards as far as... They wanted the teacher population to more closely resemble the student population, which was increasingly Hispanic. Everybody wanted that.
30 years later.
Yeah, well, 40 years later. I hate to tell you. But, I mean, 40 years later, districts our size continue to have a problem in attracting teachers like that because guess what? The big city school districts, how are you going to address that?
Well, I think there's two things. Number one, you have to try and grow your own. You know, we really have identified a cohort of kids that we want to help fund their post-secondary education. Okay. And in return for that relationship agreement, they are going to agree that after they graduate from Baylor or from Tarleton or from Stephen F. Austin or San Marcos, they're going to agree to come work in their home district where they graduated from for 5 years. And we'll pay for their education. Uh-huh. And we think that that's one of the best ways for us to identify a more diverse teaching core. The other thing I really want to emphasize, and I just say this as an African-American who has a self-proclaimed expert in diversity based on my Abilene Christian undergrad and my inner city growing up experiences, so I feel like I've seen it all.
You were an Abilene Christian undergrad?
I was Abilene Christian 1990 to 1994. It was 189 African-American students out of 4,500 kids.
Yeah, well.
And none of them were economically disadvantaged. None of them were from inner city San Antonio. I walked in with overalls and a bandana, and my friends from Fort Worth Christian and Dallas Christian were like, oh, my goodness. But I learned a lot there. And one of the things I learned, which is my second point, Bill, is that we kind of, diversity's kind of overrated. I mean, it's important. I value it. I think we should try as they did back in Abilene in the 70s. And we're here today trying to have a teaching core that matches the diversity of our kids. The problem is that in 2018, the diversity of our state has changed so rapidly that it's hard to find a lot of minority teachers. And that's why I say shame on us for not committing to the teachers that we do have. I would rather take an Anglo teacher that is committed to the work, that sees working in inner city as a civil rights issue. I would rather have them than have some minority male who just feels like they're going to have their choice of jobs because there's not enough of, because there's a shortage. No, you really got to take the dominoes that you've been dealt, Bill, and you got to say, blonde hair, blue eyes, no, that's a good domino. Now, you got to teach them how to work in East Waco. You got to teach them to, you know, protect themselves, keep their head on a swivel. Look, you know,
and sometimes your best teachers, whatever race, they're the ones you sent to the front lines because
absolutely,
they're the ones where you need them.
I think that's important that you hear from someone like me. It's not just about getting minority teachers. It's about taking the teaching core you have and helping them get better and understand the cultural differences, the socioeconomic impact on education. You know, I always say that poverty cannot be an excuse for a subpar education, but trust me, trauma, abuse, neglect, oh, that seeps its way into the classroom every day. It does us, I don't care what Prosper Waco is coming to do with our schools. If a kid comes hungry and you don't feed him, you got a problem.
Yeah, and that is a problem you've mentioned, and mm-hmm. so did your predecessor quite a bit. Remember, it got her in a lot of hot water sometimes.
Sure.
Matthew, besides being the executive director of Prosper Waco, you were also the superintendent of schools at Rappaport Academy, which is a public charter school, which
yes.
is a little bit different than some of the chartered schools we've been talking about. Let's put aside all the I know it's going to be hard, but put aside all the Prosper Waco thinkings for a minute. As a school superintendent yourself, one with a Harvard degree, I didn't know until Dr. Nelson mentioned that. What do you think you can bring from your education background and experience to help make this partnership vibrant?
Well, I think the biggest advantage is having had some experience in all aspects of the operation of a school. So I didn't spend years and years in the classroom, but what I have had from an administrative standpoint is seeing all the different aspects that go into running both a school campus as well as, in the case of Rappaport Academy, a small district. That includes things like, you know, food service and, you know, building the schedules and figuring out how you're going to get kids bused to certain places. Even though we didn't provide transportation right. to school, there was, you know, field trips and all those kinds of things. It's things like the special education requirements, you know, 504 services for students with disabilities. There is so much that goes into operating a school. I would never claim to be an expert in all of it, but I've had enough background in touching each one of those things that when we step in as a partner with Waco ISD, I have a sense of what are we trying to achieve from our end, and how does that connect with what the school leadership and the teachers on that campus are trying to do from the standpoint of running that school, of running that classroom, of providing high-quality instruction? How can we connect what we can bring to the table, what our partners can bring to the table, in a way that doesn't disrupt what the educators are trying to do but really adds to it?
Each of us, if we're in a profession long enough, we hopefully experience some kind of epiphany about what works and what doesn't. And that said, Matthew, what perhaps in this marriage of these two organizations, what are you champing at the bit to perhaps contribute to this based on your experience as a superintendent as well as someone that oversees Prosper?
Well,
There's one thing I really want to get down.
Well, one thing I'll say as a general statement to preface is, you know, part of the reason why I transitioned from Rappaport Academy to the Prosper Waco opportunity was because I saw how challenging it is to help students succeed, to have those high expectations and help students be successful when they were facing so many other barriers in their life. It's not an excuse. I absolutely agree with Dr. Nelson. But I've seen how hard it is as an educator and as an staff of educators to try to address all the issues that crop up or create roadblocks for students that are outside of the school. And so it intuitively made so much sense to me that if our community tried to look at all those things together, our schools would be more successful because the kids and parents on those schools would have fewer roadblocks to their success. So I think that's, in general, that's the one thing that I'm excited about, is that, you know, the reason why I thought the Prosper Waco effort was valuable is part of the reason why I stepped out of the school context to do this, and now we're seeing that really come together in a very concrete way. In terms of the specific things to bring to the table, I think it I don't know if I could boil it down to one, but I think there are out-of-school opportunities for kids. You know, educators only have kids from 8 to 3 or so, 5 days a week. So,
you're talking about like tutoring or something?
Well, what are the opportunities for after-school enrichment and tutoring to extend essentially the kids' learning day, but in a fun, safe environment? It gives parents the opportunity to continue to work and know their kids in a safe environment where they're going to get help with their homework. The same thing applies in terms of summer enrichment programs. There's so many of those available across the community, but we haven't strategically brought them all together and say which kids, which families most need access to these things, and how can we make that happen in a way that is affordable to them and is high quality and contributes to their education. So that's one example.
Let me go ahead and rush this. I think we're almost out of time. Peaches Henry, the president of the local NAACP, gave an impassioned speech at one of the community meetings that you preside over, Dr. Nelson, I think it was late last year, and she was urging folks to help volunteer in the public schools, especially at this critical juncture. But she also stressed, and you have stressed as well, they don't need to show up for 2 weeks, or they don't need to come on and think they're going to teach some student basketball, which is not really part of the problem. Given that Dr. and Peaches and I have had many differences over the years, but that was a rousing address she gave, and it was well put, and I know you endorsed that message. How are we doing in terms of community engagement and seeing that kind of thing come through?
Well, you know, we're real pleased with it. You know, I think it's real important for us to communicate to your audience of listeners that there's not a wall between your audience and this situation involving the Waco Public Schools. And we're in this community. We're all walking down this path together. And that's why it's so important that our proposal get the consideration it deserves, not only in Austin, but right here in our own house, because we made this problem. And Dr. Henry says it so well, you know, this whole concept of it takes a village, that's more than cliche. We can't do this alone. Nobody wants successful public schools in this city more than the superintendent of schools. No one. But even I can't do it by myself.
Well, I'll give you an example. I got a call earlier today before this interview from an individual associated with the Waco Educators Alliance. She said, we're a group of educators. We care about education. This has hit our radar, this situation. We know Prosper Waco is connected to the situation. How do we get involved in these campuses? That was an example of a call where a community member, an organization stepping forward saying, we want to help. They were able to call us. We were able to help kind of guide them where they need to go. That takes a little bit of the burden off Dr. Nelson's staff and team. And that's, you know, to the good.
You've talked about the community. You've talked about volunteers in the schools. I'm going to ask you a difficult question. I'm always concerned about whether our state legislators are getting the message. And I asked this to the county commissioners, some of our county commissioner candidates the other day. Mm-hmm. Our state legislators, we have State Rep Charles Doc Anderson. We have State Rep Kyle Cassell, State Senator Brian Birdwell. Are they paying attention to our needs? Are you happy? I mean, I know Doc Anderson attended a number of the community meetings and took a little good-natured ribbing at some of them. But are they getting the message? Is there a message we need to impart to them that they need to do when the 2019 session starts?
Well, you know, I have nothing but respect for our honorable legislators. I know that they work hard for their constituents. You know, for the record, they voted for the legislation that we're having to deal with to this day. And, you know, we really want to have conversations with them about how to maybe get some type of relief in this upcoming legislative session. But, you know, I never will be on the record of being critical of local legislators. I consider Representative Doc Anderson a good man. He's done a good job for us. All three of them, I think, should be commended for being elected officials. But, yeah, we still have a long way to go to match the legislation with what our needs are in some of our zip codes here in Waco, Texas.
Very good. Well, we at the Waco Tribune Herald will try to keep on top of our three trusty legislators during that. I see we're out of time. We're foiled again. Gentlemen, I want to thank both of you. Our guests have this session have been Dr. A. Marcus Nelson. What does the A stand for, by the way?
Al.
Al. Okay. Dr. Marcus Nelson, Superintendent of Waco Independent School District, and Dr. Matthew Polk, Executive Director of the Prosper Waco. Appreciate them coming out to give us a deeper look into the unprecedented changes coming out our way in Waco very, very soon. This is Bill Whitaker, opinion editor of the Waco Tribune Herald, signing off till next time.
This has been special programming on KWBU-FM. On the Record with Bill Whitaker, opinion editor of the Waco Tribune Herald, talking with Waco ISD Superintendent A. Marcus Nelson and Matthew Polk, Executive Director of Prosper Waco. This conversation was recorded February 1st, 2018 in the KWBU studio.